of vintage people, right? But new is pretty cool. A new year, a new decade, and both kind of seem to scream for a new start, right? And many people make New Year's resolutions. Do we have New Year's resolutions people here? A few. Yeah, that's all right. You know, maybe we're hoping to kick some bad habits, maybe start some new healthy habits. And as you probably know, one of the most popular resolutions is to what? Lose some weight. Yeah, we're going to lose some weight. I need to lose some weight in the year 2020, real bad. And I know I'm not alone, not calling anybody any names, just stating a fact that we probably hit it hard on the holidays. So today we're going to talk about a new weight loss program. Isn't that exciting? In fact, our sermon title today, New Weight Loss Program. Now before you groan, and think that I'm going to tell you to stop eating delicious foods or eat like rabbits. Anybody enjoy eating like rabbits? I know some people are veggie people. I'm kind of a red meat guy, so that would be hard for me. Or think that I'm going to stand up here and begin a new sermon series dealing like with the Daniel plan or something like that. Don't worry. I like I said, I like red meat way too much to do that to everyone. I'm actually after something a little bit different today. To begin to make my point, we should turn in our Bibles. If you've got a Bible, you can turn in that to the book of Hebrews, kind of near the back of the New Testament. Book of Hebrews, chapter 12. If you don't own a Bible and you want one, there are some in the seats in front of you underneath. You can grab one of those. If you don't own one and you want to keep that, we're happy to have you keep that. So book of Hebrews, chapter 12. We're going to look this morning at the first three verses. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. And it reads like this. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So the writer of Hebrews has just concluded, in chapter 11, concluded this whole list of people who have demonstrated their faith in God, sometimes resulting in marvelous miracles and sometimes resulting, frankly, in martyrdom, right? Men and women who put their full faith and trust in God because they knew there was no other place to put their faith and trust. And is this not a grand truth of the Bible, right? Folks, if we settle nothing else in 2020, let us settle that there is no other place to put our faith and trust than in Jesus Christ, who promises us to never leave us nor forsake us, who promises to be with us even to the end of the age. The writer then hits us with this therefore statement. Therefore, since we have seen through this great cloud of witnesses, since we have seen what it looks like to demonstrate faith, the writer tells us to also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. What's interesting to me is this. The writer does not say, therefore, let us also demonstrate our faith like they did. Did you notice that? No, there's something that must be done first in order to get there second. And that first thing is this. We must lay aside every encumbrance. Now, if you don't have a New American Standard Bible, you've got something different. It probably says we must lay aside every, anybody? Weight. We must lay aside every weight. Now, I want to do a little object lesson that requires a volunteer. And I have one. Mr. John, you want to come on up here with me? That would be great. Don't you love the sweater he chose to wear? He knew he was doing this, and he still wore that sweater. Isn't that awesome? Thanks, John, for coming up. And Jonathan will probably tell you that this is more like a voluntold situation as opposed to a volunteer situation. I didn't tell him what the job required, though. I just said, hey, I'm going to need you on Sunday. Would you come on up here and stand here and just hang out with me for a little bit? And he was willing to do that. So I've labeled some weights so that we can better understand what God is trying to say to us through the writer of Hebrews. The writer calls out specifically sin. So we're going to start with the weight of sin. Sin, sin, sin. Did I get it right that time? Sin. So John, you hang on to that, would you? Thank you very much. Jonathan gets to hold this weight of sin for us. Nothing subliminal here, John. Not trying to pin anything on you, so no worries. You are every man in this object lesson. All right? Our next weight is guilt. That's a little smaller, but it's just as powerful sometimes. So we're going to have you hold on to guilt. Thank you. Because with sin often comes guilt, right? We feel guilty for participating in the sin. Guilt is a weight that we often carry. Friends, listen carefully here. Sometimes the guilt we carry is not our own. Maybe you've been a victim of someone else's sin, and being the victim is maybe embarrassing, maybe even humiliating. And we can turn that embarrassment and humiliation into guilt. We feel guilty for maybe allowing this thing to happen to us, even though we may have had very little control over the situation. See, this is demonstrated regularly in the victims of domestic abuse or sexual abuse, right? The victim often carries the weight of guilt of someone else's sin. Another weight we often carry around is the weight of shame. This is where it starts to get interesting, John. Shame, and that's a pretty heavy one. Again, it may be shame for our own sin, but it may also be shame for being the victim of someone else's sin. We've been marked, if you will, marked for somehow allowing this thing to happen to us. Another weight we tend to carry around is the weight of unforgiveness. This is going to be tricky. I'm actually going to try to do two at once here because I'm going to... You got those all right? So this is unforgiveness. Someone has wronged us, and we cannot let it go. Or worse yet, we cannot seem to let God forgive us for our own sin, so we relive it over and over in our minds. It weighs us down. Folks, think through the Lord's Prayer for a moment, and you'll quickly realize that being in a place of unforgiveness is a very dangerous place to be. How can we pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, if we're hanging on to unforgiveness? Another weight we often carry around is the weight of bitterness. Sorry, I don't want to rope burn your neck. Yes, sorry. Yeah. So bitterness, this follows right behind unforgiveness, right? Unforgiveness can quickly turn into bitterness towards the person who has wronged us. If you are a grudge holder, you are carrying the weight of bitterness around with you. Another weight we often carry around is the weight of anger. Got one more hand? Yes. The weight of anger. And to be transparent here, this was me for many years. And what is that saying from the CMP commercial? Flip the switch and we'll be there. That was me, right? Flip the switch and I could go from normal to red hot anger in the blink of an eye. My wife could see it in my eyes, and she would call them my crazy eyes. Not at all flattering. Nor should she be flattering me in those kinds of moments, right? Now, I'm sure if we spent more time here, we could identify other weights that we are carrying around. We could probably bury John in those kind of weights. How are you holding up, by the way, under all that weight? Doing okay? Now, I need to say this. Each of these weights has a role to play in our lives, right? We all know that, in fact, we just celebrated it, well, celebrated it sort of, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? So we know that the weight of sin exists. We can't just ignore it. We know that sin often generates these other weights: guilt, shame, forgiveness, unforgiveness, bitterness, anger. We can't ignore their existence, right? Jonathan here, when he was on active duty in the Marines and out on patrols, would carry anywhere between 55 and 120 pounds of gear in order to be prepared for his mission. I spoke with a firefighter who tells me in his turnout gear, he weighs about 65 pounds more than when he's not wearing his gear. And that's not including any of the equipment he might be carrying with him, an axe or a whatever pry bar or whatever he's carrying. These tools and this equipment are necessary for the tasks required in these jobs. But did you notice that Jonathan didn't show up in all of his gear today? Did you notice that we don't see firefighters walking around all the time in all of their turnout gear? See, all that weight will wear you down. All that weight has an impact on how effective we can be day in and day out. And that's what we are seeing in this passage in Hebrews this morning. Let us lay aside every encumbrance, every weight, and the sin which so easily entangles us. See, God knows that all these weights, all these encumbrances are a problem when it comes to running the race that He has set before us. Have you noticed what marathon runners wear when they run a marathon? As little as possible, right? As little as possible. New Year's Day, I spent with Betsy's family, and we went snowmobiling and sliding down at her dad's house. And I was wearing a fair amount of winter gear because it's winter. And climbing the sliding hill with all that gear on was not nearly as much fun as sliding down the hill. I felt encumbered. I felt burdened with all that weight. The writer lets us know here that the race is not a sprint, right? He tells us that we need to demonstrate some endurance in this race. And Jonathan, I'm assuming you did not run a marathon carrying 120 pounds of gear. Is that a safe bet? Yes, there you go. That's not a winning time. So the new weight loss program is right out of this first verse, isn't it? We're going to lay aside these heavy weights. And that sounds so easy, right? Jonathan's just got to put them down. And you can, by the way. You can put those down now if you'd like. Put them right down there. But I do need you to stay for just a minute more. See, I'm not so naive to think that it's all that easy to just kind of lay aside these weights as we watch Jonathan lay aside these weights. But here's the deal. See, we can all picture in our mind's eye what it looks like to carry all this extra weight around. And we can all see how difficult things are when we are carrying around this stuff that God does not intend for us to carry around. So I'll ask our volunteer, if you had to help a little old lady across the street with all this weight in your hands and around your neck, how effective would you be at accomplishing the task?
Not very.
If Dave or Brian called you for help in cutting, stacking, and splitting some wood, could you, while carrying all this weight around, rise to the call? No. If one of your Marines was drowning while you were on patrol with your 120 pounds of weight, would you dive into the water with all your gear on, or would you shed some weight before making the plunge? Ditch it all. Here's my point. As we consider this new weight loss program, see, God's plan and God's purpose for our lives does not include carrying around all this baggage. God's plan and his purpose for our lives does not include carrying around all these encumbrances. Do you know how I know this to be true? We find the answer in verse 2. I'm going to let you go ahead and sit down. We find the answer in verse 2. He's a good sport, wasn't he? He's a good sport. It says this, as we fix our eyes on Jesus and we see how he endured the cross, what does it say? Despising the shame. Friends, Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood so that he could take upon himself our sins, our guilt, our shame. Jesus went to the cross so that we would understand true forgiveness and be willing to offer that to others. Jesus went to the cross so that we would not allow a root of bitterness to grow in our hearts. Jesus went to the cross so that we would not allow our circumstances to drive us into fits of anger and rage, but instead rely upon him to see us through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, like any weight loss program, it is sometimes very difficult to stay the course. Anyone ever here ever fail a diet? Come on. Seriously? Here we go. Oh, we might pull it off for a couple of weeks. We might even pull it off for a couple of months, shed a few pounds, feel pretty good. But then something happens and we kind of find ourselves right back at the point of the beginning. God knows this about our nature. Did you know that? He knows this about our nature. So he gives us verse 3 as an encouragement. Consider Jesus, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself. The very ones Jesus came to save were spitting in his face. The very ones Jesus came to save were hurling insults at him. The very ones Jesus came to save were punching him, slapping him, scourging him, mocking him. The best example I can give you is Saul, a persecutor of Christians, literally hunting them down to put them in jail or worse yet, to be killed. Jesus meets Saul on the road to Damascus, a road he is traveling. Why? To continue the hunt. Jesus meets Saul on that Damascus road and saves him on the spot. Just like that. If Jesus is both willing and able to save Saul, now Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, what is he willing and able to do with you? God gives us one of the more important keys to this new weight loss program in verse 2. We must fix our eyes on Jesus. Why? He even tells us why. Because Jesus is the author, which means he's the creator of our faith, and he is also the perfecter of our faith. That just means that he will guide us through each circumstance as we exercise our faith. Each battle builds our faith. Each circumstance makes us grow in our faith as we trust him to get us through. Now, as we talked about last week regarding the spiritual battle that rages, we know that the evil one is looking to derail this new weight loss program, just like he is when you're trying to fix things with food. Just like he tempts us to eat all of the bad food when we're dieting, just like he tempts us to sit on the couch instead of exercising, Satan is also working hard to distract, discourage, and deceive us in this process as well. The writer in Hebrews even alludes to the battle when in verse 1 he tells us how sin entangles us and hinders us from running the race. For me, this paints this mental picture of trying to run a race in a straitjacket. I don't think I'd be too successful. All entangled, yet trying to accomplish something, right? It's just not happening. And then the writer gives us another warning in verse 2 when he tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus because he knows that Satan will work hard to distract us. Satan will show us how we can engage in other things that will distract us from the plan and the purpose that God has prepared for us, for you individually. And by fixing our eyes on Jesus, we stay focused on his plan for our lives, right? The last warning the writer gives us is in verse 3 when he encourages us not to grow weary and lose heart. This comes from Satan using the tool of discouragement. Do not be discouraged. He gives us the example of Jesus who endured so much from those he came to save. If Jesus is able to endure all of this, certainly we can endure a failure or two or ten. Maybe this all seems a bit overwhelming. Well, let me hopefully encourage you with a couple of my favorite passages of Scripture that I rely upon when facing my own encumbrances, my own weights, my own sin. First, from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Lamentations 3, verses 22 to 24 says this: "The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease." We sang about them this morning. I hope you saw that. "For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I have hope in him." Did you have a bad day? Did everything seem to go wrong today? This passage tells us that tomorrow, friends, is a new day. It's a new day. Every single morning, God has a new compassion for us. Other versions say that his mercies are new every morning. Yes, maybe today was horrible, but this passage encourages us to leave the past in the past and then begin each day with a new outlook, a new attitude, a new clean slate. And how do we do this? We realize, as the writer said, that the Lord is our portion and the Lord is more than enough. Therefore, I have hope in him. And to close things out on our first Sunday of a new year and a new decade, I hope we can stand on this verse from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." Friends, this passage is absolutely critical in this new weight loss program. The Apostle Paul, in this letter to the church in Corinth, is reminding us of the same thing we saw from the writer of Hebrews. The old things have passed away. We no longer need to carry them around. We need to lay aside these weights. We need to bury these weights of sin, guilt, shame, forgiveness, bitterness, anger. These are the old things. And the cross took care of the old things. We are new creatures with a new plan and a new purpose created by God for his honor and for his glory. None of this will make you any skinnier. Unless you're a stress eater. If you're a stress eater, then welcome to a true weight loss program. Right? As you add that to the pile, lay aside your stress. No, see, this new weight loss program is designed to help us see how carrying the weights that are no longer ours to carry hinders our ability to work for the things that really matter. Things with eternal consequence. Things with, frankly, eternal rewards. Never mind that carrying these burdens is literally no fun at all, right? Anybody enjoy carrying around guilt and sin? And no. Hear me on this. This is important. We cheapen the value of the cross every single time we pick these weights up and carry them ourselves. You hear me? We cheapen the value of the cross when we do not leave them at the foot of the cross. We're telling Jesus, I'm just going to carry these myself for a while. Even though Jesus is telling us and told us on the cross, it's finished. It's a finished work. You no longer need to carry these burdens. In fact, Jesus tells us, he says, put my yoke upon you. My load is easy, and my burden is light. So as we close, I'm going to pray, and I hope that you'll pray silently with me. I'm going to pray that we would see what loads we are carrying that need to be laid aside. I'm going to pray that Jesus would shine his light into our lives and show us the sin, the guilt, the shame, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the anger, and whatever else it is that we might need to confess to him. And then I'm going to pray that God would strengthen us as we repent from these things so that we might run his race with endurance. But before I do this, I don't want to presume that everyone here is a believer, that everyone here is a Christian. See, without Jesus, there is nobody to carry these burdens of sin, guilt, and shame. And friends, that's how much Jesus loves you. That he would carry those weights for you, that he would die in your place, that he would take upon himself the punishment for your sins, and that he would suffer your guilt and shame so that you do not have to any longer. See, that, my friends, is called sacrificial love. That, my friends, is called unconditional love. For you did nothing to deserve it. I did nothing to deserve it or earn it. Yet God offers it to us anyway, telling us that if we would simply call upon his name and believe Jesus, he'll forgive us our sins and give us everlasting life. So if God is calling you to believe, would you let us know so that we could celebrate with you? You can do that by coming forward as I pray. You can do that visiting me in the back as we close in song. However you feel led to respond, simply respond. Do not let the discourager keep you from the arms of Jesus. Let's pray.